Welcome to Conversations with John and Lisa, and we're in the Christmas season. I know people are busy, but I'm glad as you're driving to the mall or you're getting ready to go and shop online, you are taking time to listen to things that are important, things that will build our soul.
What if they're working out in the gym? So they don't have a Christmas food baby.
I listen to podcasts when I'm in the gym. It's my favorite thing to do. But we are so excited to introduce a friend of ours. Now, I met this man back in 1987. I went to this little church in somewhere on the coast of South Carolina, and it was Chip Judd. Well, we went our separate ways, and I didn't see him again, Lisa, until almost 25 years later. And Chip had now become one of the premier foremost counselors to ministering to leaders in the body of Christ, marriages. And we have opened up to Chip. Chip has helped our marriage, our family.
He's pulled our souls out of our bodies.
Yeah, and put them back in healthy. Yes. And recently he came and talked to our ministry team. And it was profound, to say the least. And we talked, I think a podcast two ago, about boundaries and about, you know, abuse and all this kind of stuff. And I thought, wow, Chip's, what he ministered on really brings enlightenment in this area. So we just want to share him with you again. This is Chip Judd.
All right. Would you be interested in a teaching that would help you enter into rest? Yes or no?
Yes.
How about a teaching that would release you and others from unrealistic expectations?
Yes.
How about free up your relationship from destructive cycles?
Yes.
Release God's purpose in your life?
Yes.
Help you to become more emotionally stable?
Yes.
All right, how about enable you to raise healthier children?
Yes.
Say er.
Er.
Why do I say healthier children? Are you going to raise perfect kids?
No.
Why not? Because you raised them. Why are your kids going to be jacked up? Because you're jacked up. You follow me? So don't set your sight on raising perfect kids. Raise your sight on raising kids that are just a little bit healthier than you are.
Yes.
Right? And who knows? You might get further than that. And how about a teaching that would help you build a great marriage? All right, cool. We'll talk about that. How many of you agree with this statement? More people suffer from trying to change or control others than any other disease. I mean, the destructiveness to relationships when instead of letting things happen, we try to make them happen in a relationship. So what we're going to talk about is this simple secret to healthier relationships called boundaries. Did any of you read the Cloud Townsend book, Boundaries, or any of their stuff? Obviously, the concept's similar. All right, to get us somewhere, what I want us to do for a minute is just call out things that we spend time and energy stressing over, worrying about, praying about as you go through a day. So just call some stuff out and help me remember, because we're going to use the list in a minute. So what are some of the things we go through a day worrying about, stressing over?
Finances.
Relationships, say that.
Master's
program.
The future stuff.
All right. Now, just because I've done this before, when you say the future, you mean yours or the future?
Mine.
Okay, my future, because it's different. You'll see in a minute. How about just one or two more?
Deadlines.
It's funny how the age affects what you get. How about like health and stuff like that, okay? All right, so what we're going to do, up here it says, what's my circle of influence and responsibility? This is a Stephen Covey concept, but he talked about your circle of concern, which is what we were just doing. We were just talking about our circle of concern, and, you know, you just throw different things in there. So your circle of concern is really big, but concerns you can't necessarily interact with in a way that you determine the outcome. So what you want to do is figure out how to intelligently, consistently shrink the circle to where it's more manageable. So what we're going to do is look at three types of control. Everything and every person in your life falls into one of these three categories. Everything in your life falls into one of these three categories. Anybody want to guess? Let me give you the last one. There's things over which you have no control. So what might the other two be? All right, look at his list. This is Covey, but I think it's brilliant. Direct control, indirect control, and no control. Now here's a key thought. Direct control means you can determine the outcome. Now you gotta let that settle on you a minute. Direct control means I can determine the outcome. How many of you know that circle's gonna be really small? All right? So what we're gonna do now is take our list and just start feeling how it feels to put them in the category they belong in. So what was the first one?
Money.
Money? All right, money. Direct, indirect, or no control?
Direct.
All right, here's the deal. There's not necessarily a right answer. The main thing is to feel what it feels like when you put them in each category. So direct control means there's nothing outside of you that has any effect on your money. So, I mean, obviously, there's things we can do that increase the health and vitality of our finances. There's things that we can do that blow them up, right? Now, would anybody say we have no control?
No.
Okay. What was the second one?
Indirect.
No, I mean, I'm sorry. What was the second thing?
School.
School. Direct, indirect, or no control?
Direct.
Can you pick your assignments? Did you get to pick the curriculum of courses you have to take? All I want you to do is feel things that you do have direct control over, and then things that you just like, no, I don't have any control over. All right, I know somebody said relationships. How about relationships? Direct, indirect, no control. That person over there is going to be my wife. Oh, really? Y'all been seeing each other for long? Never met her. How about in an existing friendship, can you make a person respond to you the way you want or need them to? What I'm trying to stress is control means you determine the outcome. Like, imagine somebody just saying, I'm going to be a millionaire, and they have no skill, no diligence, no... In other words, can you just make that happen?
Right.
I can't make you respond to me the way I want you to, but can I act in a way that increases the probability?
Yes.
Like, I look at somebody and say, you know, I'd really like to be their friend. Do I have absolutely no control over that? But do I have a whole lot of control over that? I mean, all I want you to do is feel that. Now, we didn't put them on the list, but children, direct, indirect, or no control?
Different seasons.
The correct answer.
Depends
on age and stage.
Wow.
Age, guess what? They should go through all three. Direct, 0 to 12-ish, obviously it's not magic or perfect. Indirect, adolescence, young adulthood. What, I don't know if we'll talk about this, but what you want to do in parenting is switch from control to influence. And you'll see that in a second. But then as an adult child, your job as a parent is to raise a child that doesn't need you. All right, make sense? Did we miss any that you want to go through? I think we got the point. All I want you to do is feel the difference between direct control, indirect control, and no control. All right? Can a husband and wife control each other? Can they die trying?
Yes.
Anything over which you have direct control, God is going to hold you responsible. Anything over which you can determine the outcome, God is going to hold you responsible.
Can you give an example?
Well, when you have children, you're responsible for managing that child. Again, can you keep horrible things from happening? By faith, we can. But the truth is, the more you think in this way, the smaller that list gets. I mean, I think it's what John was referring to. If you asked me what was the hardest thing about pastoring one church for 24 years, I would tell you the lack of change in people's lives. The hardest thing to deal with.
Yep.
Because I did everything I knew to do, but what I had to realize is I ultimately had no control. Now, I had lots of influence. You feel the difference. Responsibility means I can make it happen. Influence means I can't make it happen, but I can maybe nudge it and affect it. You got a friend who hasn't received the Lord. You want them to become a Christian. Is there anything you can do to facilitate that? You can pray for them. You can serve them. You can be a healthy witness to them. Can you guarantee their salvation? Then are you responsible? So you carry the desire for them to be saved, but you don't carry the responsibility. And that's going to be really, really important in a few minutes as we go some of the places we're going to go. So what we've just done is take your circle of concern and we've begun to shrink it. Why? Because ultimately, we want to learn to manage the energy we have, the focus, the attention, on the things that are in our circle of responsibility and within the reach of our influence. We don't want to expend energy and strategy trying to make things happen that are not our responsibility to make happen. You follow me?
Yeah.
All right, here's what I call it the law of stewardship. Trinity of Triumph, I used to call it. I believe this is how the kingdom of God works. God defines a sphere of responsibility, and then as you embrace the responsibility, you receive the authority to carry out your responsibility, and then the power to enforce your authority to carry out your responsibility. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Now, I believe these three always travel together and always in this order. My personal opinion, why we don't see the power we believe we should, is because the church is irresponsible. We want to live however we want, and God still do miracles.
Wow.
We want to let the world... Here's a simple one. Do you believe prayer makes a difference?
Yes.
Do you believe the church prays on the whole as it should?
No.
Then do you believe God's in control?
No.
I think he's not. I don't think he is. He can't even control us.
Yeah.
I think it's absurd to hold to a doctrine that God's in control. In other words, that everything that happens out there is his will. I hope I'm not upsetting anybody. I mean, the deal is this, guys. If I'm contemplating committing adultery, what is God going to do? Strike me with lightning? Now, what might he do? Think about it. What could he do? He could. John could be on the other side of the world, and he could get a prompting to call me. Chipper, what's going on, dude? You're just on my heart. I think you're thinking of doing something stupid. Can John control me? This is where it gets kind of creepy to some people. Can God control me? Oh, maybe we should say it this way. Can he? Yes. Will he? Now, I don't want to get too deep in all that or we'll get distracted. But here's the point. If you're not going to embrace responsibility, don't whine about authority and power. And if you're going to take authority and power in areas you don't have responsibility, don't whine when it blows up in your face and causes all kind of relational havoc. You've got to figure this stuff out. All right, key thought. If you look up here, it's RB4A. Just write this off to the side somewhere on your notes. RB4A. What does that mean? Always start with responsibility. So I'm in a counseling session with Bubba and Mary Lou. And, you know, Mary Lou's talking about how things work at home and Bubba's getting a little uncomfortable. And Bubba quotes the one scripture every man on the planet knows, never been to church, never opened a Bible, never heard the name of Jesus. What one scripture can they all quote? Wives, submit to your husband. So Bubba says, you know, preacher, you know that verse in the Bible. And I said, I'm a little slow, Bubba. What are you talking about? And he says, you know, preacher, wives submit. So I reach over and slap Bubba so hard, his head spins. And I say, don't you ever mention that verse again in my presence until you're doing your job. Bubba, what's your job? You know what Bubba says? Duh. Because Bubba don't know his job. Now, what did Bubba do? He wanted authority and power and no responsibility. You want to be a leader that people want to follow, yes or no?
Yes.
Then serve them. Serve them. I've never had to tell anybody in my life I was in charge. I've never had to walk in a room and say, hey, I'm in charge here. How many of you know if you have to tell them you're in charge, you're not? You follow me? But if you'll take your responsibilities to heart and you walk before people, your wife, your kids, whoever, in such a way that they feel you giving yourself to the fulfillment of those responsibilities, they'll follow you anywhere, man. Guys, how many of you want a wife someday that'll just joyfully follow your leadership? Serve her. Serve her. Put her needs before your own. All right, R before A. R equals A. What does that mean? It's very easy to know how much authority you have in any situation you're ever in. However much responsibility you have, that's how much authority you have. Yeah. Here's the deal, man. If you don't carry any responsibility, guess what you don't carry? Any real, now you might have usurped authority, but you don't have any real authority. All right, outlaws exercise power without permission. How many of you know in-laws can too? Come on. All right, we got to hurry. What are boundaries? We've only got to 4 o'clock, so we got to hurry. All right, I need a couple volunteers, male and a female. All right, put it over you and hold it about. Just let it hang nice and loose. How many of you have ever had somebody talk to you and they get too close? Hey, man, what's up? You know that, what is there? One of the late nights had a skit on it, or maybe it was Seinfeld. But the whole too close talker thing. How many of you know we all have like this space around us that's just sort of understood, you know, like I got my space, you got yours, right? So a concept that seems to help make this boundaries things come alive is imagine yourself and everyone else in the world with a hula hoop around them. All right, here's where it gets interesting. Tim? Travis. I knew it was a T. Travis and Brooke. All right. Everything inside Travis's circle is Travis's responsibility. Everything inside Brooke's circle is Brooke's responsibility. Let's say for the moment they're married. Now here's the deal. Nobody believes in marriage stronger than I do. So there's a circle around the two of them called a marriage. It's a covenant. And within that marriage or within that circle, they're separated from every other person and thing on the planet. But don't you think for one second they don't live within a circle of their own inside the circle. Now, here's what I mean. Travis is responsible for everything inside his circle. Brooke's responsible for everything inside her circle. Tell her you make me mad. No, 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 out loud, like you mean it.
You make me mad,
Brooke. I'm sorry. He can't even say it with a straight face. All right, hold your thing up. All right, here you go. Where is his anger?
Inside.
It's inside his circle. What did he just do?
Put it in my circle.
He just made her responsible for his anger. All right, now you say to him, you make me sad. All right, where is her sadness? Who's responsible for everything inside her circle?
She is.
Now, here's the deal. When we do that, let's flip back. What are we doing? Whether we mean to or not, when I make you responsible for my anger, whether I meant to or not, I give you the authority and power to control me. When I want to take responsibility, I'm taking responsibility that isn't mine. Is God going to give me the authority and power to back it up? So what's going to happen is I'm going to take responsibility for something that isn't mine, And I'm going to have to resort to other means. Manipulation, intimidation, guilt, whatever. Why? Because I don't have legitimate authority and power. All right? Now, just to be quick, is he alone in here?
Yes.
I thought we were Christians. Is he alone in here? How did God get in there? Kick the door down? Behold, I stand at the door in. Now, if God knocks, who in the world do we think we are? That we just bust into people's circle, tell them what we think, and God doesn't even do that. All right, God's in here, God's in there. I've learned the secret to a great marriage. The secret to a great marriage is to have an affair. So Travis comes over here and has an affair with God. How many of Travis's needs can God meet? Virtually all of them, right? So he goes over here and has an affair with God. God addresses virtually all of his needs. Brooke goes over here and has an affair with God. And she learns over time how to look to God first and most, right? All right, now they come back toward each other. Who's responsible for making Travis feel loved? And? And Travis. So if I go to my wife and I say, I'm not feeling loved today, it's your fault. What am I making her responsible for? My need for love. Where's my need for love? Who's responsible for everything inside my circle? Who's in my circle with me? How much of my need for love could he meet? So what I did was I fired my wife. I said, you're fired. You're no longer responsible. Notice how I'm using certain words. You're no longer responsible for meeting my need for love. Why? On her best day, can she meet my need for love?
No.
Why? How big is the need? I was designed to have a love affair with whom?
God.
Is there any person or thing that can fill it?
No.
Mom, dad, kids, friends, coworkers. So what I did is I fired my wife, I fired my children, I fired my parents, I fired my congregation. I didn't tell all of them. I did tell my wife and kids. And here's what I said. I said, baby, I said, you're no longer, not you, Travis. hey, baby. You're no longer responsible for whether or not I feel loved. If I don't feel loved, it's not your fault. Now, do you think that messes up a marriage?
No.
Do you realize how liberating? Now, imagine Travis is over here having a love affair with God. God fills his tank. Brooke's over here having a love affair with God, and God virtually fills her tank. Which you think's better, to come back toward each other empty, trying to take from each other what neither one of them has, or come back toward each other full, virtually full,
that's so good.
Giving to each other out of fullness? Now, that's never going to happen if you live thinking it's other people's responsibility to fill your tank. Now, might you need help while you're learning? Yeah, that's fair. But your goal is to get to the place. My goal when I walk into a room like this is I don't need, say need. I don't need you to like me. I want you to like me. Do y'all feel the difference? I want you to like me. I want you to say nice things about me when I'm gone. But I don't need you to like me. Why? Who likes me? God does. Why would I let you ruin my day when the God of the universe likes me? All right, does that make sense? All right, what I'm going to do is run through to fill in your blanks. All right, so look up here. What are boundaries? The invisible property lines of my life. The invisible property lines of my life. They define who I am and for what I am responsible. Lord willing, as we plow through this, it's going to really help you look at some of your relationships differently. Everything inside my circle is my responsibility. The key is what's inside my circle are my thoughts, beliefs, fears. You follow me? If it's in my circle, I'm responsible for it. I'm responsible for my decisions. Yeah, but I could tell so-and-so really wanted me to decide that way. You know what, darling? Whoever makes the decision is responsible for the outcome. So you got to be really careful. Are you making your decisions, or are you allowing other people to make them for you? And depending on what age you are, there's obviously stages of life where it's appropriate. All right? Here's a good one. You're able to say no and hear no without paralyzing fears. How many of you agree it's tricky? Right? Say no one time. Did we do this the last time I was here? It just felt weird, like maybe we had. Say no real loud.
No.
Say it real soft.
No.
Say it real high.
No.
Say it real low.
No.
All right, here's what I believe. Here's what I think. You should practice saying no. Driving your car. No.
No.
No. No. Is there something about no you don't understand? And then take a picture of someone who's really hard to say no to. Tape it to your mirror. No, I'm kidding. Don't do that. I was just kidding. All right, you got to learn how to say no. If you can't say no, you can't say yes. Another statement. An internal no nullifies an external yes. All right, let me give you another made-up story like Bubba and Mary Lou. I'm standing at church, service is over, and this lady couple comes to me and says, hey, Pastor Chip, can you and Colleen come to dinner Saturday night? Well, Colleen and I have already talked about it. We're going to sit on the couch in our underwear watching a movie, eating popcorn Saturday night. How many of you know that's a good plan for a married couple, all right? So I say, I've never learned boundaries, so I live with this false sense of responsibility. And so what do I say? Sure. Now, what am I feeling? I'm mad. The ministry sucks. Why do I have to be a pastor? All right, now I'm driving over there Saturday night. What am I feeling? I'm resentful. I'm like, whatever. Now, is God going to bless me for doing that? If somebody robs your wallet, can you call it your tithe? Well, I gave it to the poor or something. In other words, if they take my Saturday night from me because I don't have the guts to say no, is God going to bless me for that? All right, now, let's roll back the film. I've been to boundary school. I know it's appropriate and honoring to say no when it's the right thing to say. Pastor Chip, can you and Colleen come over for dinner Saturday night? You know what? We can't. Now, what's the next thing she expects? She feels entitled to an explanation. Now, here's the deal. Where's my Saturday night? Guess what? It's none of your stinking business. You have no right to my Saturday night. Who do you think you are? Now, am I alone in my circle? Who's in there with me? So she starts to walk away, and I hear a whisper, Chipper. Would you give her your Saturday night? Hey, wait a minute. I don't know why I always see the same couple when I do this. Isn't that weird? You know what? Let me talk to Colleen, and I'll see if we can't change something around. Now, what am I feeling driving over there? This was a God thing, man. God asked me to do this. He's up to something. Now, can I expect God to reward me?
Yes.
Now, do you see the difference?
Yes.
You got friendships that just mutually manipulate each other. And you can't say no to each other because you emotionally punish each other. It's ridiculous. You want to, two or three of us go in the movie. You want to go to the movie? No, don't feel like going. How many of you know it's rare that there isn't a cost for that of some kind? And then put it into family context, and it can get really, really interesting. So if you can't say no, you can't say yes. And an internal no nullifies an external yes. All right, next one. If you have healthy boundaries, you allow others to experience the consequences of their choices. Wow, this is a big one. If you have healthy boundaries in this area, you are able to watch loved ones suffer. If you have healthy boundaries in this area, you're able to watch loved ones suffer. Now, let me contextualize that. Two-year-old, Johnny, if you want a snack, clean up your blocks, and I'll get you a snack. Mom comes back 15 minutes, blocks all over the floor. Oh, Johnny, I guess you don't want a snack. Yeah, I do. No? I said, if you want a snack, clean up your blocks. You didn't clean up your blocks. You must not want a snack. Now, if you can't watch Johnny suffer, you're going to mess that kid up. All right, now he's 12. Johnny, if one more time you leave your room a mess and don't make your bed before you go to school, when you come home, you got to go to your room for 30 minutes without any electronic devices. Johnny goes to school about 11 o'clock. Oh, man, I didn't make my bed. He comes home that afternoon, kind of expecting, you know, to pay the dues. He walks in his room, his bed's made, everything's clean, and there's milk and cookies on the bedside table. Nobody ever mentions it. Did Johnny learn anything?
No.
Oh, no, yes, he did. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He learned his parents are liars and cowards. They're liars and cowards. Oh, dude, you didn't really say that. Yeah, I did. You need your kid to like you so much, you can't watch him suffer. It's a horrible way to parent.
Yes.
And you know what? The world is not going to be so kind. With parenting, it's very simple. Pay me now or pay me later, and it's always more expensive later. Always. You've got to learn how to enforce appropriate boundaries. How do you learn to make good decisions? You learn to make good decisions by making bad ones if you pay for them. If I make a bad decision and other people bail me out, I learn something. And what I learn is a grievously dangerous disconnect. I learn a disconnection between my choices and my consequences. It's called the law of sowing and reaping. I develop this sort of subconscious awareness that I can act however I want and I don't get the consequence that fits. Here's what should happen. Good choice, good consequence. Bad choice, bad consequence. Your job is to set boundaries. The child's job is to challenge your boundaries. Your job is to make sure they experience a consequence in line with their choice.
Wow.
Parenting's really quite simple. Freedom, choice, consequence. Easy. No, simple, not easy. Age and stage appropriate freedom. Make choice, consequence that fits the choice. Make sense? But that can be so unloving. It's the most loving thing you could ever do. The most loving thing you could ever do. If you want to handicap kids or young adults, disconnect choice from consequence. And you're jacking them all up. All right, how do you get your boundaries from where they are to where you need them? Number one, start with your circle. Often in counseling, you run into this. Well, if you will, I will. So what you're doing is saying your progress is contingent on somebody else's. Why would you do that? Well, if you'll go to counseling, I'll go to counseling. Not a bad idea to say, let's go together. But why would you tie your progress to their progress? I'm going to counseling. Love for you to go with me. But I'm going whether you go or not. You follow me? So you don't have to wait on anyone else. One of the most tragic mistakes is, well, I'm just waiting for my husband or mother or father or whatever to be ready. You might as well like where you are because it's going to be a while. Freedom comes to you when you take responsibility. Bondage when you give it away. It's amazingly liberating when you take responsibility for how you feel. Well, John didn't, you know, treat me a certain way. You know, maybe it's true. But I'm responsible for what I do with that. and I'm responsible for how much it affects me. Right? All right. Since you can't make anyone else change, change yourself so their behavior no longer works on you. You're going to be around manipulative people every day of your life. And most of them are not intentionally manipulative. Some of them are. But most of them are just, they just have never figured out healthy ways to get their needs met. And that's part of why we're here, right? All right, second one, own your emotions. Love to talk about emotions. Real quickly, I want to walk through an example that highlights a principle. You've been invited to a party taking place this evening. This morning, you overhear someone saying some bad things about you to some of your friends. You've been invited to this party, and you overhear them talking badly about you, all right? So here are how it could play out. You're thinking, they must all think the same, no one likes me. How does that make you feel? Low, rejected, and angry. What does that cause you to do? You don't go to the party. Where does that leave you? You're at home watching TV. What are you thinking? About they're all having a good time laughing behind my back. And how do you feel? Low, rejected, and sad, right? All right, let's play same scenario at the top. Now, you're thinking. Thinking is talking to yourself, right? You're saying to yourself, you know what? You can't win everybody. Why would they invite me if they didn't like me? Now you're feeling slightly hurt, but self-assured. What's changed? Now you go to the party. You know what? Now I'm at the party having a great time. What am I thinking? I'm having a lot of fun with my friends. They obviously do like me, so I can forget about what he said. What am I feeling? Great, confident, and slightly relieved. Now, take your finger, point to where the change took place. Between your ears. Listen to me now, this is so important. All that changed is how you interpreted and explained the event to yourself. Same event, all that changed is what you said to yourself. I'm just picking on John. John and I, let's say we lived closer, we were around each other more. I get around John and he just kind of ignores me. Now I can say, you know, I'm such a loser, John. He didn't really like me. Or I can say, you know, gosh, I wonder what's going on, man. Maybe there's something in his life that, I wonder if he want to get coffee and maybe he needs to talk. Now, where did all that happen? In my brain. Now, if I feel poopy, who did that to me? I did that to me. Now, I'm not saying people can't hurt you. That's not what I'm saying. But you and I determine the intensity, degree, and duration of the emotion that we feel. You can't make me feel anything without my agreement. You follow me? Now, that's a learned skill. How do you learn anything? Practice. 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 All right, when you need to confront someone because you're in a repeating cycle of some unhealthy boundaries, it's a three-step thing. Lady comes to me and says, my husband's an alcoholic, I love him, but I just can't live this way. So here's what I said. I said, go home, tell your husband, I love you, I'm honored to be married to you. When we said our vows, I meant every word of it, and I would love to spend the rest of my life with you. Anybody know the next word? But I'm not living this way any longer. That's one and two. Three, what do you mean? Either we go together to counseling, or I'm going to stay married to you at a separate address that you're going to pay for, which in the state of South Carolina would probably happen. What that person just did was those three things. Now, what do you think was sitting in front of me the next week? This really angry guy. Guess what I never brought up? I never brought up his drinking. All I said was, sir, do you love this wonderful lady? Yes, sir, I do. Would you like to stay married to her? Yes, sir, I would. Would you like to have a great marriage? Yeah, I really would. Willing to work on it? Yes, sir. Let's go to work. Guess who brought up his drinking? He did. Because I told her not to. He did. Now, they don't always end this well, but he ended up getting saved, and one of my favorite stories of all time. Just amazing. But sometimes you got to just walk through that with somebody you love. But don't, listen, here's the deal, guys. If you're not going to enforce the consequences, don't lie. Don't do it. Don't do it unless you're ready.
Well, I hope that was a blessing to you. We loved it. Our team was just,
so good,
they're still talking about it. So if you want to connect with Chip, we want to see you connect with him. You can go to his website. It's Chip Judd, and that's 2ds.com. Instagram at Chip Judd, and Facebook Chip Dot
so it's
Judd.
J-U-D-D.
Yes, it is.
In case somebody thinks
Judd.
About G-U-D-D.
Yes.
It's not G-U-D-D.
Yes. That's right. Thank you.
J-U-D-D.
Yes, because I get my G's and my J's mixed up. I appreciate you spelling that out. I was just going to only say the words. But listen, I just want to thank you guys for joining us today. We love hearing from you. We want to hear back feedback from what you think about Chip's thing, things you'd like us to address. So write us a review, subscribe, share this podcast through iTunes. And until next time, this is John and Lisa Bevere saying thank you for joining us for
and
Conversations.
And celebrate the new year wisely.
At Messenger International, we develop uncompromising followers of Christ who can and will transform this world. Each year, Messenger International initiatives reach millions of people in over 100 countries, and the impact keeps growing. When you partner with us, you join our team. You become part of the Messenger family. And as part of the family, you share in the impact of what God's doing through our collective efforts. Today, would you partner with us to reach millions of lives around the world by giving a special year-end gift? Your investment will send hope and light into some of the darkest corners of our world. Please visit messengerinternational.org to make your donation. And together, let's light up the darkness.